Hello and welcome to the Total Nerd List podcast, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Tom.
I'm Reggie.
And I'm Shane.
This week we're talking about our favorite anti-heroes.
Ooh. Yes.
From the Wikipedia page, an anti-hero or anti-heroine is a main character in a story who lacks conventional heroic qualities and attributes such as idealism, courage, and morality. Although anti-heroes may sometimes perform actions that are morally correct, it is not always for the right reasons, often acting primarily out of self-interest or in ways that defy conventional ethical codes. They're the characters you love to hate. They make you feel a little dirty for cheering for them sometimes. They are usually the product of really, really good writing. I don't think you can really have an anti-hero without very good writing, because they're basically, a lot of times it feels like the writers of the show or movie or other work are endearing you to a bit of a sociopath. Some early anti-heroes come from Homer's Thersites. Never read that one before. Did you have to read Homer at all, Shane?
Just the Odyssey or in the Iliad.
Is he in the Odyssey?
Who?
Homer?
Thersites.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Thersites. No. I don't know. But actually, the term anti-hero, they've traced the origin to about 1714, and that's apparently Romeo's nephew was the first one of the earlier works that mentioned an anti-hero. And apparently, if for those people who had to study Lord Byron in English class, it is used more broadly to cover what's considered Byronic heroes. What was that?
Do we have any examples of Byronic heroes?
I don't know, but it sounds like they should be like a faction in Transformers or something.
That's what I was thinking, was Bionicles.
Bionicles.
Until we find out otherwise, that's what they are.
There we go. We'll have to do some research and figure out some actual of those ones.
Some other cool anti-hero references. Huckleberry Finn has been called the first anti-hero of the American nursery.
Ooh.
I can kind of see that.
I can see that as well. And then I guess the anti-hero became very prominent in early 20th century existentialist works such as Kafka's The Metamorphosis, and Albert Camus' The Stranger.
Kafka's Metamorphosis has like a very special place in my heart. We had to read it in school, and at the end of it, we had to like do something, like some kind of project. And so what I did was I made a metalwork version sculpture of what I thought Gregor looked like, the bug.
Yeah. That one really upset me. And I just, what's burned into my mind is how he got the apple stuck in his back.
Yes. I hate that. Because all throughout the story, I'm like, when they get the apple out, that's all I focus on.
Oh, I'm just poor Gregor.
I felt bad for him, though.
I'd feel bad for anyone who turned into a cockroach and then his family was just like, ugh, him again.
Ew.
Why do we have to keep taking care of our relative who turned into a bug?
And it's just the apple.
Yeah. I mean, basically it sounds like the anti-hero from that phase of writing is a indecisive central character who drifts through life and is marked by a lot of angst and alienation. But chaotic, I mean, neutral. The what?
Are they chaotic neutral?
Chaotic neutral, I guess so. And then it sounds like some later anti-heroes, like in cinema, a lot of the spaghetti Western characters, Clint Eastwood movies. And then they've had a big role in television in the late 90s with The Sopranos, The Shield, Dexter. We're getting to the 2000s there. Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, and House of Cards. But love antiheroes. They're some of my favorite characters. And I think it's just because they are real and they elicit emotions. And I mean, everyone loves Superman, but you know, if someone had superpowers, they wouldn't be like Superman. They would probably be more like Homelander from The Boys.
Yeah.
Not in America.
But let's, before we get on to our anti-hero list, let's hear about This Week in Nerd.
Oh, gosh. Well, this week I have continued to join the dark side and have been doing Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of fun. I've been finding villagers that I wanted for my island, and I've finally started the daunting task of terraforming my island to how I envision it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I did get frustrated with some custom roads that I ended up not being able to match up right, and I just scrapped the whole thing and started it over. And then, of course, Dead by Daylight. And then I, in my personal life this week, have been working on getting some licensing for my actual work job. So for the last 3 days, that's kind of been all consuming for me.
Reggie's about to sell that life insurance.
But that's pretty much been my week, kind of low key, not very eventful, a lot of studying.
Very nice. What about you, Shane?
All right. So my week, I finished my two main books that I was reading for January. Meddling Kids, I am done with. I called it a 4-part book last week, but it's actually a 5-part book. It's just the fifth part is really small. And I didn't realize that until I was like, oh, there's 5 parts. But it was really good. I enjoyed it. I believe that anyone who calls themselves a Scooby-Doo fan should totally check it out, especially if you like Zombie Island or Mystery Inc. Unless you're one of those cool people, or not cool, weird people, who thinks the cool Scooby-Doo is like the best thing ever, you'll probably enjoy it. And nice. People came at me for the statement. I don't mind. I'll defend it to my death.
I will defend you, Shane. I will defend you to my death.
Trial by combat.
Yes. And I also finished Future Quest, which was a comic I had started a while ago. Then I kind of let fall to the wayside, but I really wanted to finish it because I'm in a very Johnny Quest mood. And that's the Hanna-Barbera comic that includes all of the heroes like Johnny Quest, the Herculoids, Space Ghost, Mitor, so many more of them. It was really good. And that whole deal that comic came with was the Hanna-Barbera Beyond comics, where they drastically changed a lot of the cartoons. So that group of comics, or I should say that era, because it's totally over, gave us the Scooby Apocalypse, the Flintstones that was like more real life, which is why I think that failed, because no one wanted to read about real life Flintstones and what that would have been like.
I feel like they all would have been dead or crippled or eaten by something.
I mean, it was like bedrock, and they were just going through, you know, everyday life. There was no real pull for the story for me. Jetsons was a little similar, except set in the future, of course. And then they did a Snagglepuss where he was like a gay political figure, which was kind of cool, but still a bit too much because he had relationships with people, but he was still the pink saber-toothed tiger.
Heavens nice. To Murgatroyd.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm really kind of sad we didn't see more from Future Quest because they actually stuck true to those characters, and the fact they brought them all together in the way that they did was really good. And it's sad that we didn't get to expand on that more so than we did.
Are the characters from those Hanna-Barbera Bible stories in it?
They are not.
Did y'all ever see those?
Are you talking about VeggieTales?
No. There was one where they were like archaeologists who went back in time to the Bible times. And it was a Hanna-Barbera thing. And I just remember there being a character, Moki. But we watched them like over and over and over again in Sunday school, and it was they're hilarious.
What?
I don't actually know these Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I kind of just want to find them to check them out, because I'm such a big Hanna-Barbera fan.
I'm 100% sure it's Hanna-Barbera because it had the star or whatever their logo was
yeah.
before all their But yeah, it was, they were bananas.
I don't remember back in the day when Carowinds had Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, I miss that so much. I miss childhood Carowinds. Yeah,
that's like golden age of Carowinds. If you're in North Carolina, you probably know what we're talking about with Carowinds. But if you're not, it's like our version of Six Flags or whatever.
Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
Very similar. It used to be owned by Paramount. So the kids section was Hanna-Barbera, and then all the rides were movie themed. And they had the Assimilator, which was Star Trek, and it had the Borg Spear, the Lying Down roller coaster, which was the first ever, mind you. And that was just really cool.
I miss that, and I also miss when it was all Nickelodeon themed too.
SpongeBob ride with the squirt water guns. Yeah.
Oh yeah. But the series I was talking about is called The Greatest Adventure: Stories from the Bible.
Very interesting. I'll see if it's like on DVD or something. See if I can find it.
it's very cheesy, but
there were books too. Anyway, what else have you been doing, Shane? Sorry.
No, you're fine. I have still really been into Kirby Fighter 2. I'm working my way through that. It's really fun. A lot of people probably ring it for being a little repetitive, but it's Kirby and fighting, so I'm into it. And, of course, Animal Crossing, which we have an update coming out tomorrow, which will be yesterday when all of you guys hear this. And that update gives us Pavo, the dancing... Oh, what is Pavo? She is a...
Turkey?
She's a peacock.
No. Peacock, yes, that's what I'm trying to think of. She's a peacock, and I will get some new items, but I'm not sure what. Like, there's a few things I know of, but
Mardi Gras or Carnival, right?
Yeah, something like that is what I keep seeing. So we'll see how that goes. More on that probably next week. And the only other thing is soon I'll be able to mention my not so secret play anymore, but still soon. So not this week.
Yay! Is Kirby Fighter 2 free on the Switch?
It is not.
Okay, I thought I remember seeing a Kirby Fighter game that was free that I almost downloaded.
There is one. It's like a Kirby, almost like an RPG game type deal. I forget what it's called, but Kirby Fighter 2 is like the one where it's almost like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, except Kirby's.
Oh man, I might have to like the different power hats. Ooh, I might have to look into that.
Mm-hmm. But that's been my week. What about you, Tom?
Well, my week, as always, Dead by Daylight. I've been playing with some randos. I usually play with y'all, but got into some good games with some really good characters. Finally, I didn't know there was an achievement for escaping without getting hit at all, which I apparently had never done before this week.
So congrats.
Yeah, but I was playing with someone and all three of us had gotten out, and the other person literally just stood at the exit, waited for the killer to walk up on her, and then just shined her flashlight in its eyes a bunch of times and then until the killer hit her and she ran out. So I was laughing because it was savage. another thing I've been doing is playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Zombies. Mm-hmm. That is by far my favorite Call of Duty Zombies of all time. I just recently found out that you can still play that online, so I have been playing it online with people this week, and the only thing about that is everyone who still plays it at this point is really, really good, so the games go on far too long.
Oh god.
So there was like one time where they kept healing me. I was just like, just let me die. but that's definitely my favorite Zombies. I feel like all the ones after that have tried to build on it a bit too much and have been a bit too extra. Mm-hmm. I would love for them to re-release the Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Zombies as one where you can like customize it a bit more, because it's got the mystery box where you can get different guns out of it. And it'd be cool if they had like a mode where you could customize, kind of like item switch in Super Smash Bros, where you could customize like which guns are in there and how often they drop. But I, you know, that's a really fun one. I was telling y'all when I found out that we could play online still, I would buy y'all a copy just to play with everyone, because it's so much fun. And I mean, Zombies just has a special place in my heart because I always played it with my college roommates. And then also, you know, during the pandemic when I was not seeing many people, Reggie and I were playing Zombies at his house quite a bit. And that's just a happy memory from the pandemic so far.
Aww.
But other than that, I've fallen off on reading Mason's book, 34 Degrees, Mason Blevins. If you haven't been listening to the past few episodes, check him out, leave him a review. He's really good writer. I'm reading about two chapters every other day on his book, but I've also been reading, I've talked about before, the Drugs in the Third Reich book, which is basically a book about how apparently just everyone in Nazi Germany was on meth, like legal meth. And they're just talking about how the invasion of France was a basically meth fueled tank war. But it's super, super interesting just seeing the history of that and just the personalities involved in that stuff and how it's nuts. But yeah, that's basically been my week, being a history nerd, playing video games.
Awesome.
Good week.
Well, I guess I will get into my list of anti-heroes. My number five, have y'all seen Escape from LA and or New York?
Yes.
My number five is Snake Plissken from those movies. I'm almost just including him comedically just because those movies are just so over the top. But the first time I ever saw in either of those movies, it was before you could, like, I didn't have digital cable at the time, so I couldn't just see what was on. And there were no previews on the network I was watching it on. And there were no, like, there was nothing like, this is Escape from LA. So the movie started and I had no idea what movie this was. And it was just absolutely ridiculous. If you've ever seen Escape from LA, it is the most nonsense movie ever. And I was so confused. And I was just like watching Kurt Russell with an eye patch try and save the president's daughter from LA, which was its own prison island. And Steve Buscemi sold maps to the stars. And Peter Fonda surfed tsunamis. Yep. And then he ended up turning off the power for the entire world at the end and smoking cigarettes. And I just had to include him because it was the most bananas movie I've ever seen.
Awesome.
Next up, this one's a recent one, but Tony Soprano from The Sopranos. During the pandemic, my wife and I got HBO on Hulu and watched the entire series. You can't get much better when it comes to anti-heroes. He's a terrible, terrible person, and somehow they make you feel like he's a big old teddy bear at some points. And the whole thing is he's a mob boss going to therapy because he has constant panic attacks and doesn't know why. And it's just, it's a great character. Have y'all seen The Sopranos at all?
Never really watched them religiously, but I know of them.
Yeah, I watched being Italian. I watched a bunch of it.
Nice. Apparently, though, they never say forget about it.
Nope.
That's just something people made up.
Nope.
But yeah, I feel like we talk about the pandemic on this podcast a lot because this pandemic was founded, or this podcast was founded during the pandemic. Just watching it with Allison during a rough time and finding enjoyment in that just kind of put it in a special place in my heart. So that's why he's on there. Next up, if you've listened to our worst characters ever, My number one on that was Walter White from Breaking Bad. Did y'all watch Breaking Bad at all?
I watched like the first two seasons, but I don't hate me, but it was just, I couldn't get into it. I thought it was too boring.
Too boring. I mean, it does start slow. And I mean, it's not one that you can, I feel like you have to like really pay attention to it to really get into it. So if you're doing anything else, like while you try and watch it, it gets rough. But he's a terrible person. The first time you watch it, you kind of cheer for him, but the second time you watch it, you realize he was just an awful person from the beginning. and basically he's diagnosed with a terminal illness and uses that as a free pass to just ruin the lives of everyone around him. And, you know, he was a miserable person even before he got sick. but very complicated character, very good writing, makes you feel kind of dirty that you cheer for him at some points and really kind of ropes you into, you know, like sometimes you'll be like thanking he is still the good guy, even when he's just, he's the worst. but yeah, that's my number three. Number four, Shane, I'm sure this one's on your list as well, but Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. Y'all, I think I talked about him on Worst Deaths, maybe, I forgot. But I mean, once again, perfect anti-hero. He was a genocidal maniac at one point, and then he's consumed by pride constantly and makes really dumb decisions because of it. But then as the story goes along, he ends up putting that pride aside, even sacrificing his life at one point. I'm sure we'll talk about more with Vegeta at some point, but just my favorite Dragon Ball Z character of all time. And then my number one, this is multiple characters, but I really could not narrow it down, but the Grand Theft Auto protagonists, mainly Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto 4, and then the characters from Grand Theft Auto 5. They're just, it's just great writing with all of them. They, you know, obviously Grand Theft Auto is a game where you're a homicidal maniac, but they somehow endear you to those characters. CJ from San Andreas, definitely one of my favorite characters of all time that I wish they would bring back in a remake. Has some of the best lines ever. Nico Bellic from Grand Theft Auto 4, some great character development there. And then the most recent game, Grand Theft Auto 5, has three characters, Franklin, Michael, and Trevor. Trevor is probably one of the worst humans of all time in any video game ever, but somehow you like him a little bit. And
the gay redneck one.
Yes. And I love him because I don't even think he's gay. I think he just like does not, he's like so removed from society, like gender and sexuality and all of that stuff just like does not matter at all with him. And you switch between characters in the game and like you'll pick up with the other characters at like random points, and sometimes you'll switch to Trevor and he'll just be like on top of the highest mountain in the game wearing a dress, like passed out drunk. So you know, I feel like Grand Theft Auto is the essence of what anti-heroes are, in the sense that they endear you to these characters who are just awful, awful people. But they're hilarious and they're fun to play as. And I feel like they're always very human and very nuanced. So that fits the anti-hero mold.
It does.
But some of my honorable mentions, really quick, Butcher from The Boys, mostly the TV show Butcher. He's crazy and hilarious at the same time. I don't like the Butcher from the comic books, but I do like the Butcher from the show. Jack Bauer from 24. Did y'all watch 24 at all?
A little bit.
Not really.
It's kind of like post 9/11 propaganda, and he definitely blurs the rules. But 24 was a show I loved a lot growing up. Shadow the Hedgehog, especially from Sonic Adventure Battle 2, one of my favorite games of all time. Sonic does a bunch of bad things for somewhat the right reason, and then in the end, kind of sacrifices himself. Never played the follow-up game. Play that one at all, Shane?
I played the actual Shadow game.
Yeah, I never played that one. Wasn't it like a shooter?
It was like a... I don't want to call it a platform. It was like a 3D, you know, how the PlayStation games were.
Yeah.
I just remember him having like a gun in the other one instead of being like a straight up Sonic game. So I don't know how I felt about that one. And then my final anti-hero honorable mention is Bender from Futurama, because Bender. I love Bender. Bender Rodriguez.
Bender Hernandez Rodriguez, right? Isn't that his middle name?
I did not know. I thought his middle name was like Pimp Mobile or something. But that's my list of the worst characters you hate to love. Reggie, nice. What do you have for us?
Well, my list is... starting with my number five is Kratos from the God of War series.
Mm-hmm.
Kratos was went on a bender in the original franchise to kill all of the Olympian gods because of, you know, killing his family.
Doesn't he have a son?
Well, so in the original games, it's all over in, you know, Sparta and stuff like that. And he's fighting like the Olympian gods. And then in the new games, God of War, Kratos is in like the Norse mythology. And he has a son, Ben. I won't give any spoilers as to who his son is, but you find out at the end of the game. But anyway... he's definitely a hero that does some shady, shady stuff to get, you know, what he wants. Definitely blurs the line of good and bad, but you still root for him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Next on my list is Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
I know that he is definitely considered like the bad guy in the movie, but in the cartoon show, I don't know if you guys remember that at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was friends with Lydia. And so he was always getting into shenanigans, but, you know, always looking out for himself. But at the end would still care about Lydia and make sure that she's safe.
Oh, absolutely. He tried to do so much for her. Like every time Claire Brewster was a snob to her, he would like suck her down to the netherworld and teach her a lesson.
Absolutely. I loved the cartoon show. I actually just recently got the entire series. So I'll sit down and go through and rewatch all of that. So next on my list, I was torn on whether this would count or not, but I put Cole Turner or Balthazar, as others knew him, in Charmed.
Okay.
So Cole was a half-demon named Balthazar.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up falling in love with one of the witches. And ultimately, like, became a kind of a good guy because of his love for the witch, for Phoebe. And also, I think he might have been, like, one of my first crushes when I was, going through my puberty stage of, like, figuring out I liked guys. He was bad, but he was good, but he was bad.
Which is totally an anti-hero, so he counts.
Yes, and then also, I didn't put him on the list, but I think if I mention him, I have to mention Angel from Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
He was good and had a soul. He also was a vampire, so it's one of those, is he good, is he bad, is he good, is he bad. He was hot, that's what he was.
The name Balthazar makes me laugh because, have y'all seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine at all?
No.
One of my favorite characters, Captain Holt, in one part, they all get the mumps. And so he has like that like neck thing that you get from the mumps, and he names it Balthazar. and there's some really funny lines with that one.
I think Balthazar is an actual demon in like Catholicism or wherever demon names come from.
Sounds like the name of an iguana.
That would be a good name. So I was really excited about this next one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of it and my family agreed with me. Louise Belcher.
Oh man.
Brain.
I agree with that.
She's not, I mean, she's a, what, how old is Louise? Nine-year-old mm-hmm. girl that gets in more trouble than I think she could rival Bart Simpson.
Oh, absolutely.
But she does have a little bit more of a moral compass in the end, at the end of the day.
Except she literally throws poop in the pool, and Bob thinks she's doing the Caddyshack joke, and it's literally poop.
And well, in that, and then all of the shenanigans in school with Mr. Fran, and I love that show, and I love Louise. I actually have, I don't know where it is, but I have Louise bunny ears.
Me too!
I like to wear it. They're crocheted bunny ears, so they don't work as well as a winter cap, but they're still cute. And then, all right, so I did my very last one, and I don't think anybody would be surprised by this, but just in case you guys fought me on it, I have a backup for it. But Poison Ivy.
All right.
I know that Poison Ivy has always been a Batman villain, but in recent years, she's definitely become less of a villain and more of a, I don't even want to say, I mean, I guess she's an eco-terrorist when it comes down to it, but she's doing it because she cares about the environment.
Exactly.
You know, and she just goes about it the wrong way. And now if you guys were going to fight me on that, then I was going to say then the Gotham City Sirens, which is Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman all together, because while they were bad guys, they ultimately were trying to do good in the end, even if they went about it the wrong way. I think Harley Quinn, Catwoman, and Poison Ivy have all kind of slowly transition from supervillains to antiheroes. And then, of course,
I totally agree.
Say what?
I said, I totally agree.
Good. Back me up, Shane. And then, for my honorable mention, I don't think anybody is shocked about this, but Bender Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Bender Bending Rodriguez.
I love Bender. I love the voice actor who plays Bender. I love everything about Bender.
Mm-hmm. Bender is great, for sure.
Bender, so, Bending Rodriguez. I don't know where Hernandez came into my head, but...
I guess Rodriguez.
Yeah. His full name is Bender Bending Rodriguez.
I am Bender. Please insert Gerter.
Oh, I am Bender. Please insert Gerter. That's from the one with Hermes and the
bureaucrat episode where you learn about like all the bureaucrats mm-hmm. and she wants to hook up with Fry because he's messy. Well, Shane, do you have a blog for us this week?
I do. I have the top 10 anti-heroes of all time.
Okay. Of all time, from everything like literature or comics?
No, I don't know. There were a few literature characters that made it on the list, but sadly not in the top 10. This list comes from inverse.com. A lot of it will be heroes and villains that we are very familiar with. So,
Before you start, I love inverse.com. It has, I feel like I've gotten a lot of information for this podcast from that, but it's a very good non-political news distraction website for me. So It's a good one.
All right. Well, like I said, we'll only take a look at the top 10 because the list was like 50 and it's so long. But the top 10 starts off with Deadpool, the happy-go-lucky mercenary for hire.
Yeah. Wade. Is it Wade Wilson? Wade?
Yeah, I believe so.
Pretty sure his name is Wade.
Yes, that sounds right.
Don't hate me, but I still need to see those movies.
Ryan Reynolds burnt up as Deadpool. Still fine.
But they're great. You really should. They're good. But yeah, so Deadpool comes in at number 10. Number 9, Frank Castle, a.k.a. The Punisher. Mm-hmm. I think enough said there, just The Punisher's name.
It really bothers me, people who use the Punisher symbol and not actually understand what the Punisher symbol means and stands for.
Yes.
Well, and also I don't know if it was the writer or creator, someone involved with the Punisher was like, stop putting him on the back of your cars for the wrong reason.
Right. It's annoying when I see it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Next on the list, Snake Plissken from Escape from New York and Escape from LA, number 8.
Yes. He turned the world off.
Yep, I thought that would make you happy. Number 7, Wario from Nintendo.
Wario!
I do not like Wario.
But I thought Wario was a villain, though. How is he an anti-hero? He's the anti-Mario.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and the list doesn't do a good job of justifying why he's an anti-hero, and I don't understand that. Like, maybe from the sports games, or maybe even from Smash. I'm not sure.
I mean, he had his own line of games where he was the good guy. You know what I mean? You played as him, so I guess so, but is there ever even an explanation of where he comes from?
No.
Wasn't he in that, like, 8 Coins game? Or...
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember him from, but the main thing I remember him from is Mario Kart 64, and he had the purple cart, and he laughed like an old lady from my church.
I always liked him in, oh my gosh, I just lost it, in Smash.
Smash?
I always liked him pull out the motorcycle.
I like that you can throw his motorcycle at people.
Yes. And you can throw it back at him.
WarioWare on the Wii. Like they had the darts game, and it's just a good like group game to play in college.
Was it basically Mario Party?
Yeah, I mean it more or less. It was a bunch of mini games that was designed to play in a large group.
Yeah, I never played it, but based on the map on Super Smash Bros. It just seems like Mario Party to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number 6 on the list is actually from a book, or I guess from a series. Lestat Delancourt from The Vampire Chronicles by Anne Rice.
Yes. Interview with the Vampire.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure I probably butchered his name, but.
Was that one Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt?
Tom Cruise.
That's actually, have y'all heard of the Mandela effect?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Where people think, like, things changed, even though, like, the Berenstain Bears. Apparently, it's Interview with the Vampire, and everyone thinks it's Interview with a Vampire, right?
I remember it as Interview with a Vampire. Is it with the Vampire?
I think so. And everyone always thinks it's, like, Interview with a Vampire, but it's a good example of that.
Oh, sorry, Reggie. The collective everyone is wrong. All right, number 5, Blade from Marvel Comics.
Blade, Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
Someone should pardon him so he can make more movies.
Oh. Number 4, Elektra, also from Marvel.
She's an anti-hero?
Yeah, I mean, she's not...
I'm basing this 100% off of the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. She seemed like a hero in that movie.
Well, I think her dad was like in mob things.
Okay.
Like that Elektra Nachos, I think is her name.
Yes. Well, she's an assassin too.
Okay.
But that's typically turn good and fight alongside Daredevil.
Like I said, very very narrow understanding of that character, except for the fact that she uses size like Raphael.
Honestly, the Netflix series of Daredevil has been the best portrayal and story lot wise with Elektra that I've seen, in my opinion, which, you know, isn't too many, but for my knowledge, I would say watch that one to get a better idea of her.
Nice. I have to.
Yes. Finally, our top three, Rick Sanchez, Rick and Morty, coming in at number three.
I almost put him on my list, but I left him off because I know you guys don't watch it, and I wanted to be able to talk to you about the people from my list.
I actually watch it. I watch it pretty casually.
It's probably not the best show to let our kid watch, but we love watching that show.
Yeah. I know some many kids that are younger than your kid who watch it, and I think they're all going to be just fine.
I mean, like, I was raised on Family Guy through my teenage years, so I think he'll be okay.
Yes.
I think it's more like this generation's South Park than it is this generation's Family Guy.
Number two on the list, and this one I have a little trouble understanding, but I think I kind of get it, the Hulk.
I feel that. I mean, he's a hero who's like hunted by the military on numerous occasions. So I can see that.
He transforms with his rage, so I guess I get that too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're associating anger with being bad, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also just the fact that destruction.
He do destroy a lot, don't he?
Yeah.
And then number one, you know, number one's probably worse than the Hulk was at number two. Number one, they have Wolverine. I think Wolverine's straight up hero.
Yeah, but he's like a borderline.
I feel like they chose him because he's like not like a he's not like a straight up just like I'm a hero. It's like I'm really complicated and hate things, but still do good. Have y'all seen Logan?
Is that the one where he's old?
I think it's the one where he, spoiler alert, dies.
Doesn't he die in all of them?
I don't know.
I feel like it.
I don't know how people feel about them, but I loved the first two, like, Fox X-Men movies.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love them. Anna Paquin is Rogue. Oh, I loved it.
Besides the costumes, I wish they had gone with the neon and not the, like, early 2000s. Everything has to be leather and sleek looking. But I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yes. Well, that's a fun list, Shane.
Yeah. Yes, that's that list. And we'll move on to hopefully one that's a little more fun, in my opinion, my list.
Let's hear it.
All right. The first one on my list coming in at number five, Gazeel Red Fox from Fairy Tail. Because I am such an anime lover, most of my list ended up being anime. But Gazeel was from the Phantom Lord Guild, who start out as bad guys who fight and try to destroy Fairy Tail. And then after Fairy Tail defeats him, Gazeel and a few others from his guild join Fairy Tail. He's not really happy about it, but once their guild's defeated because they were evil, their guild can't exist anymore. And a lot of their guild just doesn't exist. A lot of like their leaders and whatnot were essentially destroyed / killed, however you want to look at it. But he joins Fairy Tail. He makes the journey from anti-hero to full-fledged hero by the end of the series. But he does that because he falls in love with Levi. And even though he attacked her while he was in Phantom Lord Guild, once he falls in love with her, no one can touch her. And their love story is one of the best ones in the series.
Nice.
Moving right along, number four, Philippa Georgiou from Star Trek Discovery.
Georgiou! Yeah! Philippa!
The Terran that comes from the Mirror Universe that Michael brings back with her. And then anytime, especially when they were fighting, what was the Borg-like thing called? Do you remember, Reggie?
What
was the Borg-like thing called that they fought in season two?
Oh, I don't remember.
Whatever it was, once that villain took a hero form and became uber strong, you know Philip is the only one that can fight him and hold him off and eventually destroy him.
It was the sphere data is what it was after. I just can't think of, and it took over that guy. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't think of what it's.
Yeah, like. It was like command or something. I don't know.
Oh, it might have been just command.
It was very Borg-like. But anyway, she kicked its butt because we know Philippa can. And Yeah, I love her. I don't care how bad she is. Like, I didn't always want to see her go down the villain road, but I was kind of slightly always okay with it. And we all knew Michael would bring her back anyway. Number three on my list, Tom, he was on your list too. Vegeta, Dragon Ball Z. I think he's severely underpowered because they want to make Goku the best thing ever, which is gag me with a spoon.
Well, I mean, I feel like he loses a lot of power because he gets caught up on his pride a lot. As a coach, I look at Vegeta and he's like the one. If he would have more of a Goku mindset, I feel like he would be better, but I still love him.
Yes. No, I do too. His story is also really great. And of course he's Trunks' father, and Trunks is my favorite character once he grows up, or as a lot of people say, it's future Trunks is who I actually like more. But you know, whenever he gets that age, he becomes my favorite character.
You like Trunks with the trauma of his entire family dying.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, the Majin Buu saga was actually the first Dragon Ball Z I ever watched. I like, that's when I picked up on the series, and when he sacrifices himself, and then he also ends up being the savior in the end. And just, I mean, I feel like that one's really good too, because they kind of explore his inner darkness, even though he's like trying to be a better person. They somewhat, the one of the main bad guys in that saga takes advantage of his inner darkness and uses it to basically make him evil again.
Yes. Vegeta, like, he's good. And I think he could still surpass Goku if they would let him, or Katarok.
I think, aren't they kind of working towards that in the Dragon Ball Super?
No.
No? I'm so behind on Dragon Ball Super, but I thought I saw an article that they basically gave him a transformation that was like a step beyond Goku.
Not maybe for like a minute, and then Goku surpassed it. Yeah, okay. That's my issue with Goku. I just can't with him.
I don't hate on Goku, but like, throw Vegeta a bone. He's paid his dues.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what they need to do, is just bone and then pass each other.
They do become one at one point, but not in that way.
they fuse together?
Yeah, they fuse together.
Fun.
All right, did you guys watch Death Note?
No.
No.
Okay.
A lot of these animes you guys are talking about.
What? So Light Yagami is my next choice, and I was always Team Light on that show. Death Note is a death god drops a notebook to Earth, and whoever picks it up can write a name in it, and that person will die. They can choose the death and whatnot. And when Light finds it, he tests it out and starts killing criminals and bad people. But I guess the downfall of Light is that when people start to figure him out, because they realize there's a serial killer somehow killing these really worse people without touching them, then he starts to kill those people that get close to his secret, and then things just spiral out of control. But for the most part, through that whole series, I was Team Light all the way through. If they would just leave him alone, there'd be a lot less evil people. But I actually know that's not really true, but still.
Is it still going on? Is it done?
No, it is done. It is only, I believe it's a 26-episode anime. There was a very crappy Netflix movie that I advise no one to watch if they like the series. But yeah, no, like I said, and there are all sorts of rules, like by using the notebook, half of your life is already gone. And then another death god does the same thing and drops another notebook. So then there are two.
Weird.
Yes. No, it's a really good one. It's really popular. Very easily found. I think it's streaming on Netflix and honestly most other anime platforms. So anyone who watches it, Team Light, and he's one of my favorite anti-heroes.
How does he stop the death god? Does he write the death god's name in the book?
Oh, you can't, because it's a god. He just knows, you know, in that series, every human has a lifespan, and by using it, his cuts in half, and there's no real way to stop it.
Okay. All these genies with their rules.
Exactly.
Sneaky degens.
And then finally, number one on my list, which is why I wasn't going to fight you, Reggie, Harley Quinn.
Ooh!
Batman, the animated series where she first comes in. And honestly, the first time you see her, she's so straight up Joker's henchman and a little annoying. But the more we get to see her, the more we get to know her and love her. And, you know, she's full-fledged hero at some point, but she leads a Suicide Squad, a group of anti-heroes, which is why she's just my favorite anti-hero of all.
How do you feel about Anne Hathaway as Harley Quinn?
Yeah, Anne Hathaway was Catwoman. Margot Robbie is Harley
Quinn. Yeah, Margot Robbie's.
In the recent Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Margot Robbie, not Anne Hathaway.
I do not know where I picked up that it was Anne Hathaway. How do you feel about that one?
Love it. I personally love it.
Same. I enjoyed Suicide Squad. I know a lot of people didn't like it, and sure, there might have been a few missteps along the way, but overall, great movie.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Can't wait for the second one. Give it to me now. Nom, 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 nom.
Same. I'm right there with you. So yeah, she's my favorite. Love her. It's that original voice by Arlene Sorkin on Batman animated series is how I will always and forever hear Harley Quinn.
Isn't there like a current one of the adult animated Batman with Harley Quinn?
Yeah, she has her own animated series now.
It's the Harley Quinn show. Do you guys watch Big Bang Theory or know of it?
Yeah.
Penny. Is that what her name is? The girl next door from those guys? Penny?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Kaylee Cuoco.
Yeah, she does the voice of Harley Quinn in that show. And Blake, I think it's Blake Bell, is Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. It is adult for sure. I mean, there's no boobs hanging out, and they're not just like dropping the F. Well, there's not hanging out, but it's a lot of cussing. There's a lot of violence. At one point I was crying. I was laughing so hard. It's so good.
I'm really enjoying the like WB style Batman adult shows that are coming out now.
Me too. And I still need to watch that Harley Quinn cartoon because I love her so much. I just need it not to be so expensive to watch.
We got you.
Awesome. All right. And then I had one honorable mention, Magneto from the X-Men. He's a villain sometimes, but becomes anti-hero when he needs to be, like, especially when Apocalypse shows up.
Michael.
He does what he's got to do.
Nice.
And that's my list.
That was a good list, Shane. Well, fellas, I enjoyed our anti-hero week. Okay. Before we sign off, I've got a fan list from my cousin Mick, one of the coolest people I know. I asked him what his favorite anti-heroes are. He said he really likes Niko Bellic from GTA 4. He thinks he was a really well-written protagonist. But his favorite anti-hero is Jimmy Hopkins from the game Bully. Have y'all ever played Bully?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like my sister's favorite game ever.
He says it's one of his favorite games of all time. He's not even kidding. He thinks it's better than Grand Theft Auto. And it's, you know, obviously just like a more kid-friendly version of Grand Theft Auto. But he says he can play that game for hours nonstop, and it's his favorite Rockstar game. But I've watched him play it before, but I've never played it myself.
I think we're due for a new one soon.
A new Bully. Are there two?
Nope, just one.
Just one? Wow.
Like remastered it and re-released it or something like that. But no, mm-hmm. Just the one game. PlayStation 2, I think, is what it came out on originally.
It was.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, do y'all have any shout-outs this week?
Just always my buddy Jimmy Kerr of Willow Mountain Woodwork, custom furniture, locally made here in Watauga County. And then because of my newfound playing of Animal Crossing, I've been hanging out with Jordy Marie Games a lot. I've been watching her live streams, and she's kind of helped me out with a couple items here and there when I needed it, because she's such a good friend. Shane, you've also helped me out, and I'm a lot further than other people who've only been playing it for a week and 3 days should be. But definitely check out Jordy Marie Games on Facebook. Her merchandise store just opened. She's got some merch now that you can buy. Fun catchphrases that she says, and she's got some really cute art. But Jordy Marie Gaines on Facebook, go give her a like and a follow and tell her Total Nerdlist sent you.
Absolutely. And I just want to plug, as we talked about before, as Tom mentioned, Mason Blevins' book, 34 Degrees, available at most major retailers now, Amazon, Books A Million, and Barnes & Noble. So check it out. You can get a no audiobook yet, but that might be in the works sometime soon. However, you can also get the Kindle version, digital version, or hard copy if you like, whatever you prefer. And as always, don't forget to give us a like, follow, any type of message you want to send us on social media. We're at Total Nerdlist on all social media, and you can email us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com.
We should do the audio for the book for Mason.
I will do it.
Three of us, and we can, like, you know, I think that would be fun. We should talk to him, see what can happen.
While we sit in high-backed chairs with red robes on, smoking pipes, reading from a script. and one last shout-out, Movies by Gabriel on Instagram. He's been doing a lot of good movie reviews lately. He was in Spelling Bee with Shane and Reggie, but Movies by Gabriel on Instagram.
Movies by Gabriel. Give him a follow.
Well, this was a good week. I'm looking forward to many more weeks ahead, especially now that I have a bit more time and energy moving forward, where we didn't forget about our Bean Boozle challenge and our mini-sode. We will get on that ASAP.
We're coming.
But guys, it was fun. I'm looking forward to next week.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.